Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, chapter 1 verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. May the Lord grant us the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that the preacher might preach clearly and efficiently, and also that you, my dear hearers, benefit all that the Spirit has in store for us in this wonderful word of life. This is Apostle Paul's testimony of the ministry of the gospel into which the Lord Jesus called him and appointed him. He says, for Christ sent me. He was a man of purpose. He knew who called him and why he called him. He knew what the one who called him wants him to do. He never allowed his mind to forget what Christ, his Savior, wanted him to do. Since the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him at the gate of Damascus, he remained focused all the time on what Christ wanted him to do. He rendered himself unreservedly to this end. Nothing was more exciting to Paul than preaching the gospel. He was a single-minded person, a one-thing man, preaching the gospel. It was his greatest motivation. He lived only to preach Christ. He said, for me to live is Christ. And even if it's going to be death, he would say, to me to die is gain, because I will be with Christ forever. I live for Christ, I die for Christ. Christ is everything to me. Why? Because, as we notice in verse 17, it was all about the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel of Jesus Christ. As far as a Christian is concerned, a church of Jesus Christ is concerned, every preacher of the church is concerned, nothing precedes the purposes for which Christ has called us, which is the preaching of the gospel, everywhere, to declare it. Please don't be surprised if I were to tell you, there is only one thing that we must be mindful of while we live on earth. That is to accomplish the very thing for which the Lord has come to this world. He came to save sinners. Now he did his part in his appointed time. And then he appointed his disciples to take that great message which he brought, that he has come to save sinners to the ends of the earth. Now Christ fulfills His will to save sinners through you and me. When a man is completely absorbed into this reality that the Lord Jesus Christ died and saved him for the purpose of being one with him to fulfill his eternal purpose concerning the salvation of sinners. He forgets everything else and puts his entire life to this purpose. It does not mean you have to be a preacher to do this, or a full-time preacher of the word. You may be a housewife. You may be a student. You may be a farmer. You may be a businessman. You may be a teacher or doctor, or whatever profession. But if you are a Christian, then you are in all these areas of life just to promote the gospel of Christ. Even for a preacher within the church, nothing is more important than preaching the gospel. And that is what we see at the beginning of this verse. The eminence of the preaching of the gospel. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Of course, Paul was not saying he is against baptism. He did baptize. He talks about it in the preceding verses. Look at verse 14. He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. But he did baptize, you see. You may think he is not for baptism. I tell you why he said it very soon. But take note, he did baptize. And he mentions the name of the people in Corinth whom he baptized. Crispus and Gaius. And then when you come to verse 16, he says, I baptize also the household of Stephanas. In Corinth, he did not baptize too many people except a few which are mentioned here. And the reason why he put it in a negative way, I have not baptized anyone else but just these few that I mentioned, is because there was a schism within the church. People said, well, I belong to Peter, I belong to Paul. Some others said, well, I belong to Apollos. There was this division within the church, and each one calling, or each party calling itself with the name of a preacher. Paul's party, Peter's party, Apollos' party. And so he said, well, why do you say I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas, I of Christ? Is Christ divided? Is not the church supposed to be united in Christ? Is it not all about Christ? Is it about Paul? Or is it about Apollos? Or is it about this elder or that deacon? Is it not all about Christ? Jesus commanded that we should baptize those who come to Him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost as a token of their faith in Christ. But this is not meant to cause division within the church. It is not pastors to say, oh, I have baptized 1,000 people, look at the strength that I have. You have baptized only 20. It is not to create division within the church. Baptism was to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. Give us a public testimony to the salvation that Christ has given to us. Sacraments are important, but they are not more important than Christ and the preaching of His gospel. Anything that we do in the church is directed toward the glory of the one who is crucified for us. It is Christ. And nothing, let me tell you, nothing, according to what we read here, more exalts Christ in the church than the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the rest play the second fiddle. Preaching. Preaching what? The gospel. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Would you now look into these verses, beginning with verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Some may decry the emphasis on preaching the gospel. But Paul says, well, they may call it foolishness, but I know this is Christ's intended means by which the power of salvation will be extended to the world. It is the power of God. Why is the preaching of the gospel the most eminent ministry of the church? Because it is through the preaching of the gospel that the power of God will be displayed. Well, dear friends, it's not so much about debate. It is not about any other artistry of man. It is not about performances in the church. It's not about entertainment. But it is simply about preaching. Preaching the gospel. You look at this again. Verse 20, please. Where is the wise, Paul asked? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The church ministry is not about presenting intellectual minds to the world. Well, we thank God for intellectual minds that we have in the churches. But it is not about debating. It is not about being a philosopher. It is not about presenting to people the philosophical concepts of the existence of God. It is simply preaching the gospel. Now again, look, verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. What does the Jews, or what does the, what is the main requirement of the Jews? We want signs. We want more miracles. We want more proof. You remember a while ago when we remembered our Lord Jesus in the Holy Communion, we read Matthew 27, where the Jews said, well, if you are the Son of God, come down and show us. We need more signs. All that you did is not enough. Well, we know you healed the blind. You caused the water to become wine. You walked on the water. You did miraculous, stupendous things. But look, we need more. It's not enough. Now come down. Actually, they are very foolish. They are thinking that the three nails with which they crucified him would hold him forever there. What are they? They are nothing. If he could control and still the storm and the waves, what are those three nails? Nothing. Just one pull, they all be gone. Or you just look at them, they will just melt. It is not the power of the nail that kept the Lord Jesus there. But it is the gospel truth that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It is the power of His love until redemption that kept Him on the cross. And that they think religion is all about proving things by means of signs. Paul said, stop it. Today, crowd gathered together in churches where there are many power presentations. Well, I don't mean PowerPoint, but what I meant is demonstration of miracles. They want that. How many of them really realize that these are all deception, counterfeit miracles, pretension? They push a chair onto the stage, or push a wheelchair onto the stage with a sick man on it, and they say, in Jesus' name, you rise up and walk, and that gentleman just take a few steps, everybody clap hands and say, praise the Lord. You could always take those few steps. It is not that you never see him again on that wheelchair. After a while, you see him again on the wheelchair. That's not how Jesus healed. Today, people are very, very enamored by these kinds of display of power. They don't believe that the pure preaching of the gospel in itself is power of God. But I think we as a church who understands the power of God's love that manifested on the cross must remain focused on this one thing. To preach the gospel. Though I am not with you all the time, I do follow your programs here. I do get your church bulletins by email, and I look very carefully through the programs, and I'm glad to see that you do have many gospel attempts. And I do see that you have very good preaching. Now I know your messages are uploaded even in sermonaudio.com, and that's excellent, excellent. And I hope you will be even more emphatic in preaching the gospel and bringing the sound of the gospel to all the world. You must do it. You must do it with more eagerness and more fervor. Every member in this congregation must remember this. Christ sent us to preach the gospel. It is not about the spectacular shows that one puts up in the church. It's about preaching the gospel. Eminence of preaching the gospel should never depart our mind. Now, after emphasizing the eminence of preaching the gospel, let me now quickly speak to you about the eminence of the gospel which we preach. You cannot appreciate the eminence of the preaching of the gospel if you don't understand the eminence of the gospel, the greatness of the gospel. What is so amazing about the gospel? What is so amazing? Well, dear friends, look at verse 23 of chapter 1. Paul says, we preach. This is the subject of our preaching. He says, we preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified. Today being Good Friday, our minds are upon the cross where Jesus died. Christ the crucified. Do you know, though the cross of Christ was meant to be a shame and dishonor to Christ. It is the glory and the wisdom and the power and the love and grace of God. In Christ crucified, we see the greatness of His love, the vastness of His grace, the beauty of His wisdom, the glory of His power. It is the glory of God. There you have the wisdom of God from the beginning, since the fall of man. God had clearly prophesied that He will send us a Savior. The seed of the woman. The seed of Abraham, in whom all nations shall be blessed. The seed of David. The son of David who will come to be our Savior. And there on the cross, you see all that the Jewish people were anticipating being accomplished in all their animal sacrifices. Through thousands of years, they were not trusting in the animal and its blood that they poured on the altar. They knew this was only a prefigure of the things to come. The bulls and goats that they have sacrificed could not save them. You read Hebrews chapter 9, it's all there. It was only a prefigure, a symbol of who Christ is and what He would do for us. So when Jesus came to this world, He was introduced to the world by John the Baptizer saying, "This is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." On the cross, you see the wisdom of God that planned a way of salvation for sinners being completely fulfilled. Even in the last minute, through their taunts, they tried to take Jesus out of the cross. But there you see the faithfulness of our Savior. He remained there on the cross. Because His eternal counsels concerning our salvation cannot be thwarted. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The cross declares that nothing will cause Him to change His mind. He remains the same. Oh, the wisdom of Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, in verse 23 we are told, a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. The gospel we preach is that Christ died for sinners. And of course, He resurrected on the third day, all according to the Scriptures. And He's coming again to judge the world. We preach this. It may be a stumbling block to the unbelieving Jews. It may be foolishness in the mind of the Greeks, who are philosophers. But that is not a matter of concern for us. We don't care what the world would think of our preaching of the gospel. The eminence of the gospel is not determined by the response we get from the people. They may reject it. They may laugh at it. They may deride the substance that we are preaching, which is the gospel of Christ, that Christ crucified. But it doesn't matter. We just present it with all clarity that we can have. They may jeer us. They may sneer us. They may throw stones at us. They may even kill us. But we preach Christ the crucified. Why? Because there is no other way of salvation for mankind. He is the Lamb of God. is the only Savior. He is the only one upon which God has poured our contempt. He took our punishment. There is no other Savior. He alone can justify us by His blood. He alone can sanctify us. And He is coming soon to judge the world that did not repent and believe on Him. Oh, we must preach the gospel because it's a preeminent gospel. There is nothing like it. So, dear friends, we are going to be busy, not with a thousand things that this world would want us to do, but we want to be busy in preaching the gospel. Let every woman in this congregation, even when she cooks, pray this, O Lord, make me and my church and our preacher a preacher of the gospel. Let she cook not only for herself and her family, but also for the preachers of the gospel. Why do you all laugh? Too much, is it? So, you cook so you can invite your neighbors who have not heard Christ and bring your preacher in and let him preach. Otherwise, why would you cook until you die and die in vain? What is the purpose of your life? Children, you go to school. Yes, you must study. But for what? To bring every friend of yours to the knowledge of Christ. Men, you work hard. You sweat it out. For what? To glorify Christ. Everyone's heart must see the preeminence of the gospel and Christ the crucified. And then let me tell you, Christ will be glorified in us. His eternal purposes will work through us, and we will have the pleasure of rejoicing. If you do things in this life without Christ being the main focus of your life, let me tell you, it all will end up in confusion, discontentment, and really at the end you would say vanity of all vanities. But with Christ and for Christ, if you would live, it will all be ending at a celebratory note, with a jubilant note. For Christ I have lived, and for Him will I die. Now let me speak to you another important thing that we see in this verse. The exclusiveness of the preaching of the gospel. Now, I need to explain this. We talk about the eminence of preaching the gospel. We talk about the eminence of the gospel we preach. Now let me talk to you about the exclusiveness of preaching the gospel. The uniqueness. He said at the end of verse 17, we preach the gospel not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Here Paul says, when we preach the gospel, let's remember, we don't need any extra powers to preach the gospel except that we preach it. It is complete in itself. It does not need any embellishment. It does not need eloquence of a man. It does not require it. Simply, plainly, pointedly, you preach Christ the crucified. It doesn't have to be Reverend Prabhudas Koshy or Dr. Paul Ferguson to preach the gospel. We all can preach the gospel. Let me tell you why I am a preacher of the gospel. Not because I am an eloquent man. I think you know by now, I'm not eloquent. I might have made a lot of grammatical mistakes. I don't like it, because in order to present the gospel in the perfect way, we should not make mistakes. But it is not the beauty of the presentation of the gospel. You see, if you have a diamond in your hand, you keep it in a chest, no matter how beautifully carved that chest may be, the diamond is covered. Its beauty cannot be seen. It is hidden. Gospel is not to be wrapped by our eloquence and present to the people. If you do that, people will only see the eloquence of your speech. They don't see the gospel. Everything we do in the preaching of the gospel must lift Christ up. Jesus. We must preach as though the hearers cannot go on without Christ. We must preach Christ as though the entire world is hanging on Him. You've got to preach Christ as though they have no option to pass Him by without looking at Him with the eyes of faith. We must compel people to Christ. Simple as that. It's not about creating response from the people. It is about just presenting the gospel. A lot of people do not want to be preachers of the gospel because they say, I tried, nobody believed. They said no to me. I'm quite tired. How long have I been trying? Praise God, you have been trying and keep trying. That's all. It is up to the Lord Jesus to bring about the conversion. He does it in His time, in His way, in His own, according to His own plans. And we do not have to worry about it. What we need to do this is to just present the gospel in the simplest way we know. Just preach to the world saying, look, we need a Savior because we are totally undone in our sins. And God, because of His great love, gave us His Son. He died for us. Please believe Him. He will forgive you. He will redeem you. He will put His Spirit in you. And you will know His eternal consolations. Come, believe. Let me just say, when we preach the gospel, we should never be too concerned about our appearance, our speech, or what people think of us. Let them think whatever they think of us. Let's preach the gospel. Of course, you cannot act in any way, or you cannot appear in any way that would hinder the presentation of the gospel. You cannot be worldly and preach the gospel. You cannot be ill-disciplined in your life and present the gospel. You can't be vulgar in His words and present the gospel. You got to be godly in your appearance and preach the gospel. You may not be an intelligent man. You may not be highly educated. You may not be so skillful as others are. But you can all preach the gospel. And we must do it. We must do everything to promote the effect of the cross of Christ. That is by yielding ourselves totally to this work. Look at this, my dear friends. Again into chapter 1, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Wow. Paul here says he doesn't need great people to preach the gospel. He just needs people who are so fully drawn to the glory of Christ. People who are so preoccupied with the preeminence of the gospel. That's all it takes. And if you are a man who is so preoccupied with the preeminence of Christ, then no matter who you are, no matter how feeble you might appear, just go, God will use you. Calvary Tenga BP Church, what you need are not intelligent men with great talents. What you need are people who are so preoccupied with the glory of Christ. That's all. I'm so greatly blessed in my church. This is not to make any comparison, but to give glory to the Lord. The Lord has given me 24 full-time preachers around me. And it's a small congregation just like yours. And you'll be surprised where most of them come from. From prisons. In my congregation in Gethsemane, Singapore, there are four who now preach together with me. Every one of them was plucked out of the street from drug addiction and gangsterism. Brother Daniel Lim is a preacher in the Chinese service. Brother Kelvin Lim is a preacher among the children. Brother Jeremiah Sim, he is a preacher among the old folks, and he takes care of other ministries as well. I had Brother Paul Cheng, but the Lord sent him to Melbourne, Australia, and he was ordained to be the pastor of Bethel last week. And in the Philippines missions, we have five missionaries. All of them have graduated from FEBC. And they all come from the same background. Reverend Gregor Galarpe, Brother Dominino de la Cruz, Brother Edsel Locott, Brother Richard Teal, Brother Eliezer Ortega. Every one of them comes from such a despicable background. But you have no idea how God is so pleased to use them for the preaching of the gospel. I remember when I start preaching to all kinds of people, there's one very wise preacher came around and told me, you know, Koshi, you don't know what you're doing. You bring in all these people to the church, you're going to make a mess out of your church. Just one or two of them is enough, the rest go to other places. I said, let me tell you something. If the Lord would please to bring 200 of them, expel all the non-drug addicts from my church, only former drug addicts, not present ones, but all those who are converted from that, I will still be happy. Because my Lord says, it is not in the personality of an individual that the power to lift his glory lies. It is in His choice, in His empowerment. And if God would save some like that, why not? Yes, we must preach the gospel in universities. We must preach the gospel to the professionals. But we must also preach the gospel to the poor, to the needy, to the dying, to the despised. Gospel is to everyone. And that is the glory of the church. That's the glory of your church too. We must be always on the lookout where I can bring the gospel. It can be a group of old folks. Nobody visits them. They are alone, waiting to die, somewhere dejected. If you have an opening door, go there and preach the gospel. Could be a group of children somewhere. Reach out to them. Who would do this work for Christ but you and I? Christ sent me, Paul says, to preach the gospel. Let the pastor, let the elders, let the deacons, let every member of this church rise up in faith, looking to the Christ crucified and say, "Oh God, what a great message you have given us. What a glorious ministry you have entrusted with. We are not worthy to be part of this great gospel work." Let me tell you, just because you gathered on Good Friday, Christ will not be glorified. Just because you sang some songs, Christ will not be glorified. You must be filled with the glory of Christ and His gospel. Every heartbeat must be for the preaching of the gospel. If that's how you would live this place tonight, then I am absolutely sure you have not yet seen what shall the Lord do through you in the days to come. Let not Calvary Singer ever think of any other glory but the glory of Christ through the preaching of the gospel. Let everyone say, "Jesus died for me, to save me, and also to make me a channel of His blessing to someone through the preaching of that same message which saved me. And I shall rise up to do just that. I will not be preoccupied with who I am. I was nothing, and yet the Lord loves me. And if He would use me, not because I am everything, but because He is able to use me. And I will give my best." May the Lord use every one of you for the preaching of the gospel. Just like Paul, will you not also go from here praying, "Lord, make me a preacher of the gospel"? May the Lord be with us and bless us.